Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
To you. You are in the loop on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reverend Latitula, hanging out with you on a Tuesday, a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Yes, indeed. If those prices are looking a little too pricey for you for the Christmas Day game versus the Baltimore Ravens, well, this is the place to be all day long. You heard it.
Wait, what's going on that day? You said that Ravens and Texans get?
Yeah, they're
opening. That's the Beyonce.
They're opening for Beyonce. Beyonce.
Yeah, that's the Beyonce game.
Yeah, they're opening for Beyonce. On
featuring, it's Beyonce
featuring
and the Pips.
Featuring the Houston Texans.
Yeah, it's the Beyonce and the Pips.
Oh, man. But yeah.
I'm Beyonce and these are the Houston Texans.
Yeah, exactly.
And Ravens.
I'm Beyonce from Houston, Texas. We like to tighten up. If you were trying to go to that game, a couple of opportunities today. You missed one earlier with Payne and Pendergast. We'll give you another opportunity in the 12 o'clock hour to win a couple of tickets to the bullpen at NRG Stadium for that game. And then, of course, there'll be another one in the drive with Clint Ron. So a few opportunities to get you out to the game, as Sports Radio 610 loves doing for you with these Houston Texans. Always get involved with the program. The text line is up and running, 713-572-4610, as is the YouTube and the Twitch chat. Those are also there for you. Someone also mentioned, and I appreciated this a lot, enjoyed the team, getting Tank Dell more involved, sweeps and returns.
Yes,
more targets.
Yes and yes.
Yeah, definitely some more targets. One of the things I did notice in watching a whole bunch of film, sometimes I do wonder if those routes could be crisper.
For Tank? I think Tank runs a good route.
Sometimes I do.
Maybe he's regressed a little bit, but I think that's one of his has been. I mean, you saw it. I didn't go into the All-11 yesterday. I think that was one of his strengths. By the way,
You got an update on tickets?
300 level on the 10-yard line. $659.
Okay, so you definitely want to keep it locked here, baby.
I guarantee you, I don't think we got no 300 level. I think it's a lot better.
Right? Yeah, we got it on the field, man.
I think.
Well, not on the field.
Well, like not literally on
the
field.
Yeah, I was about to say, we can't do that for you.
Is it bullpen tickets?
It's always been. I'm misspeaking. I'm sure Parker will let me know.
Yeah, he'll be in here shortly. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about this Rockets team. Unfortunately, they lost in the semifinals of the NBA Cup. on Saturday. That final game happens tonight versus between the Thunder and the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm actually really interested in this game, but I'm also a basketball sicko. I understand that. But when it comes back to the local team, the Houston Rockets, they won't play again until Thursday. But, I mean, there's something that's that was made evident by that semifinal game, which is offense is still very much an issue. That was a number one defense versus number two defense. And for the first half, it looked like it, right? And then the second half, you could see the Thunder, as we mentioned. This is a team that, you know, has the superstar, that has some more offensive talent, and they've been at these levels of competition, and they pulled away from your Rockets team. And there's that. But then you can also look at some of the shooting trends for the Rockets and see that offense still very much an issue, and shooting in particular. Rockets are the only team that ranks in the bottom 10 in field goal percentage in the paint, mid-range, and three-point range. Is there anywhere else you can score from?
Pretty much every level of the floor, they're bottom 10.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, that speaks to, you know, a lot of these old adages and axioms are based in truth. You get down to the final, look, nobody's you know, raising a red flag here. But you might be reaching for it a little bit if you're talking about playing at the highest level.
Well, when you're talking about games
like Oklahoma City.
Yeah, really and truly competing this year, which I don't think anybody fully anticipated. The idea was just, hey, this is a playoff team, have an opportunity to really test your mettle. And honestly, I think from the front office's perspective, really find out truly what you have in a lot of these players and a lot of these players collectively with this team. And figure out what you absolutely need. And right now, shooting is one of the big things that you write up on the whiteboard and you circle, maybe underline a few times. Because as evidence, right, it's not been good on all these levels. What are some of the places where this could improve? And I think the first thing that's very obvious is, well, didn't you draft a dude who is there to shoot in some ways in Reed Shepard? And I think that was one of the interesting nuggets of the NBA Cup run, is that when you got to elimination games, Reed Shepard sat down.
Yeah.
Right? They opted for Aaron Holiday, a dude who's a little bit more experienced, that has a better ball handling and maybe better decision making in those instances. And it made me think even more about Reed Shepard and his role as the arc that he's had, which was early on in the season, they tried to make him a ball handler to help him find some space on the floor, to also make sure that you're not giving up too much size with having another point guard on the floor with him. And that didn't work all too well because he's a rookie and having to handle ball handling duty, try and play make for others, and find the right time to shoot. That's a lot to ask of him. They move him off ball, maybe make him more of a shooter in true sense, where he's off ball with those things. But then you're giving up some size there, and even the shooting-wise, like I think the first month, which you had more of that first kind of experiment, his shooting, I was looking at his splits, his shooting was low 30s. He got to, October, he was actually shooting 38, right? So he was shooting a little bit better, and it's tracked down. It was 36 in the month of November, and then December, where he's only played four games, to be honest, shooting 31%. I think that's one of the places where, as you find him more comfortable, if you can find him more spaces to play, give him some minutes to kind of build his way into some of these games, and hopefully if he can find some defense to stay on the floor, that could be a place that could help, is having just a little bit more spacing, because you don't have very much. Your spacing currently consists of, like, Dylan Brooks, who's a solid shooter. Fred VanVleet, who has not been shooting very well on his open shots comparatively. I'll get you those stats here in a second. Jabari Smith, who's been all right, like, spacing. And then, like, Jalen Green, funny enough, doesn't seem to get those spacing opportunities because there's not often that he's playing off ball and getting shots as a, like, catch and shoot.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The funny thing about Reed Shepard is you have to start asking yourself how much of it is, oh, he's a rookie, he's learning, and how much of it is the game is reaching this level is just a different game for him. We'll have that discussion. I don't think it's time yet, but you brought him in to help shooting. Shooting is your issue. You just laid it out, you know, bottom 10 at every level on the floor. And you're not getting any help from guys that you're expecting help. I mean, Jalen Green shooting 39% overall, 31% from three-point range would be one. And when you get, that's why I said, when you get into this level, you can get away with that against a lot of teams. But when you get to this level, like the Oklahoma City game, some higher level games, some high leverage games, you know, you often, coaches often go to not what they're calling, but who they're calling. You know, they go to players, not plays.
Yeah.
Who are you going to?
I don't know that you have, like, real confidence in that. Like, right. Alperen Şengün has been the answer most recently mm-hmm. in those post-ups, and that's a lot to kind of expect from him, right? And I think that that's tough. I think Fred VanVleet, for me, is one of those interesting places because I know Adam Spillane earlier in the week, and I'm trying to see if I can recall it because I, you know, thought about it in the moment, and I can't find the exact number. But one thing I do recall about this without the exact numbers of it was that, oh, here it is. Over the last few years on wide open threes, mm-hmm. right? Obviously not having that defender on you. I will take it back a couple of seasons. So, what, 3 seasons ago, 42% on wide open threes. 2 seasons ago, 40% mm-hmm. on wide open threes. Last year, 43% on wide open threes. This year, 34%.
Yeah.
Right? I think that is one of those instances where someone like Fred, when you have those opportunities, knock them down because those become even more vital. And you can even bring this back around to the rest of the team where in those last two games, those cup games, those were the 18th and 19th times that they shot worse than expected mm-hmm. based on the quality of shot. Like, that's an advanced tracking number. But basically what it's saying is when you get to certain spots, there's a average that's expected shooting on those. They've shot worse than that in these games. And so some of this might just be a regression to the mean, positive regression with the quality of shots that you get, especially mm-hmm. with someone like Fred VanVleet that you know is a decent shooter. With some of those guys like Dylan Brooks and Jabari Smith, some of that might be helpful. Hopefully getting Reed involved a little bit more. And then hopefully, and this has been the one that's been odd for me, the idea that they are bottom 10 in field goal percentage at the rim is one of those weird ones. Because you've got guys that can attack there, and then Alperen Şengün has some post moves that he commits to memory that he can really work with. But when you get that opportunity, I understand there's going to be a lot of offensive rebounds, but you got to be able to make some of those shots in tight. And so I think that there needs to be an uptick there. If you can find a way to score better at the basket, those mm-hmm. high percentage shots there, that'll also help you off.
No, that will. And that's something that, you know, they've struggled with in the past, and they're certainly struggling with it again. You know, but I will say, you know, you asked the question of you know, how do you get better? How do you improve on that? I think the next five games is a good testament. They've got a weak part of the schedule coming up. They got two games against the Pelicans.
And the Pelicans might be one of the most, like, they, I was about to say they're almost like the Detroit Lions here, but the Detroit Lions still finding a way to be good through the various injuries that mm-hmm. they have offensively and defensively. The Pelicans are just, you know, writhing in pain. They look like last year's Memphis Grizzlies, where with all of the injuries that they have that have kind of just, you know, really stopped and stunted their development.
Yeah, you have the Pelicans twice. You have the Raptors, also not very good. Timberwolves, and then the Hornets. So, yeah, the six games against these five teams, five games against these four teams is a good place to get started. But I say again, like, it, you know, got to have it, fourth quarter, push, who's getting the ball?
Yeah, and I think that's the bigger question that I think has led to very many people outside of this Rockets team, because not inside mm-hmm. this Rockets team, but other people outside of them looking at, oh, there are star players out there that you can maybe be that guy that you roll the basketball to and say, hey, we need a bucket in this situation. This team still seems to believe that they can see if they can draw some of this out. And Jalen Green is the one that specifically is there. I know that there was a few pieces written this weekend over with Mark J. Spears and then also Sam Amick about the development that he has shown under Ime Udoka. It'll be interesting to see because, mm-hmm. again, consistency is the name of the game with him. We know that he can do it. Will he do it consistently is what's necessary, especially when you don't have as much help offensively all the way around this team. But, yeah, that begins Thursday when I believe you said the Pelicans.
Yeah, Thursday.
Thursday night. You get to see the first forays into life after an NBA Cup Part 2 is crowned and see how the Rockets, rather, continue to try and address shooting and offense. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. In some ways, it's a return to the Texans because we've had so much fun watching Danielle Hunter break out these spin moves. He's become a spin move aficionado, which got us thinking. What are your favorite signature moves in sports all time? 713-572-4610. We'll go through those next.